Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the growing ministry of Jesus as we pick up in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. The popularity of the ministry of Jesus is growing. Word is being spread around of the miracles that are being wrought by him. And now wherever he goes, people are beginning to jostle and shove in order that they might get close to him. It made it difficult for Jesus to travel, to get around, because of the multitudes that, according to Mark's gospel, at this point were thronging him wherever he went. And so here in Luke's gospel, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and that to me is always an exciting situation when people are pressing to hear the word of God, when this becomes such a priority in the lives of people to just hear the word of God, they press to hear it. That he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee. Whenever you talk about a sea, somehow in my mind you get a vision of a sort of a salt body of water, but the Lake of Gennesaret, or the, it's actually to me more of a lake than it is the sea, is not salty water, but is fresh water and drinkable. So yet it is known as the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. There were two ships that were standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So in order to escape a little from the crowd that was thronging him, he commandeered Simon's ship. He got in it, and he said, pull on out a little ways, in order that he might be able to teach the people without them pressing so close that he loses the sight of those that were behind. Now, here in the area by Capernaum, there is sort of a good slope where the banks come down into the Sea of Galilee there, so that just pulling out just a little ways from shore, you're sort of in an amphitheater type of a situation, which made it very conducive to teach the multitude of people who were thronging to hear the word of God. Now, when he was finished speaking to them, he then said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft, for a load. You're going to be pulling in a large catch. And so Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon is objecting to the command in a polite sort of a way. Lord, I'm the fisherman. I know how to fish, and I know the time to fish. And I know that the time isn't now. As the day gets warmer, the fish go to the deeper areas of the lake. And these nets were not really deep water nets. They're sort of surface nets. They have the floats on the top, and they just cast them out as they are rowing around in a circle in the boat. And then as they complete the circle with the boat, having cast the nets around in the circle, then they pull the nets on into the boat. And they are not deep water type nets. They would catch the fish in the shallower areas in the cooler part of the day, or in the evening, which was usually the best time for fishing. So they've been fishing all night, caught nothing, so you assume that this just isn't the time. Yet, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, this to me is interesting because here we find men laboring all night with no results. Now, suddenly, Jesus directs them to labor in the same area, and they have phenomenal results. And to me, this marks the contrast that usually exists in those efforts that are on our own and those efforts that are directed by the Lord. I think of all of the time and energy and money that is wasted by man-inspired efforts. We see a task that needs to be done. We sit down and figure out what would be the best way to accomplish this task. We develop our programs, and then we develop the financing in order that we might fund the programs that we have devised. And then we set up the committees and we set up the ways by which we might implement that program. And certainly in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have seen some remarkably phenomenal programs established by man. We have some friends who were pastoring a church in the same denomination that we served for so many years, where we got packaged programs from the denomination. Quite convenient. You didn't even have to think of them. They thought of them for you. All you had to do is get your committees and inaugurate them. And so in this, and of course every year you get two of them. You get your spring enlargement program and then you get the Beat the Summer Slump program. So this church was going to go all out. I mean, they had everything all lined out. You take a telephone book and you cut up the pages and each person takes a page of the telephone book and they call all of the people on that page, inviting them to church. And then, of course, you have a person over that that calls everybody who's supposed to be calling people to make sure they've called the people they were supposed to call, you know. And then they filled helium balloons with numbers. And you turn them loose upwind from the city so that the balloons sort of drop down. And so the numbers are then put in a barrel and person draws a number. And if you bring the number out of your helium, you know, it has a little note telling you there's going to be a drawing, special prize if you're there and get the number, you know. So you get, you know, people coming with their numbers so that they might get into the drawing and perhaps win this special prize that will be given away when the number is drawn out of the barrel. And then, of course, you organize your transportation committees that if a person needs transportation, they'll drive out and pick them up and bring them to church and all. And, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, so many gimmicks you can't believe. And so this particular church thought, well, we're going to really go into this, you know, big program. We're going to go full bore into it. And so I was talking to the pastor some 6 months after the program. And I said, well, now it's been 6 months since the program was concluded. As you evaluate the results of the program, how many have you been able to add permanently to your church? And they said, well, there is an 85-year-old man that we have to drive 25 miles to pick up. And he really can't hear, but he doesn't get to see people very much, so he just loves to sit around where people are. And he's the only one we were able to add to the membership. You know, after spending thousands of dollars in all of these programs to add to the church. There is man's way of doing it. And then there's the Lord's way. Non-directed service can be very unfruitful, but directed service can be exciting. Now Jesus is directing Peter. Just launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft. And Peter, semi-arguing, says, Lord, We've been fishing all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, you know, you insist on it, we'll do it. You know. Not really expecting anything because of his experience. How many times I have met people who are discouraged because of bad experiences? How many times when we have suggested a solution to a person's problem, they'll immediately respond, "Oh, I've tried that." But did you try it at the Lord's direction or did you try it on your own initiative? Makes a difference when the Lord directs you to do a thing. You can be sure when the Lord is directing your service that your service for the Lord will not be in vain. So when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net began to break. So they signaled to their partners, which were James and John, who were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. Success beyond their wildest dreams by simple obedience to the command of Jesus. Now, the result of the success to me is significant. When we have devised programs, and we've put in all of the human energy and the human effort, and we begin by the human effort to gain a response. You've got something that is working. You've got something that is attracting people. What do you do with it? You franchise it. You carry it out other places. You develop your success seminars, and you invite others to come and learn how to bait your hook, to make your lure more attractive, so you can gather more fish. But when it is the Lord doing the work, rather than developing your success seminars and being all puffed up over what's been accomplished, like Peter, you just sort of fall at the knees of Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm not worthy. Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Suddenly, you're aware of God's work. You're aware of God's power. You're aware of the presence of God. And that is always a humbling experience. No man who has stood in the presence of God can be proud. Standing in the presence of the Lord, conscious presence of the Lord, is always a very humbling experience. "Depart from me, Lord," Peter said. "I am a sinful man." And he was astonished, and all those that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, for from now on you're going to catch men." And so when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The Lord brought them to the peak, to the ultimate of success in their chosen profession, and then called them to leave it to follow him. Their little ships rowing to shore, weighted down in the water by the load of fish, the dream of every Galilean fisherman. And from that point of success, the Lord says, "Now, from now on, you're going to catch men." And they left all and followed Jesus. Now, in the other Gospels, they do not give us the background to the call of Peter and John. And it would appear from the other Gospels that Jesus was just walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw some fishermen mending their nets. And he said, come, leave your nets and follow me. And they dropped their nets and followed Jesus without even knowing him or seeing him. That is not so. These men had already experienced the Lord. They knew the Lord. Jesus wasn't a stranger to them. They knew him. Now he is calling them to a complete commitment in following him. Now it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man was full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and begged him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He's going to give us a list of some of the miracles that Jesus was accomplishing, sort of a variety of miracles, the one directing them and catching the fish, sort of a miracle in nature. Now the miracle of the curing of an incurable disease. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded and loathsome diseases in the ancient world. If a person had leprosy, he was to be ostracized from the community. Nobody could touch him. If they touched him, you would be unclean. Jesus touched him. Now, in another case, when Jesus healed lepers, he did not touch them. Jesus did not confine himself to a particular pattern in doing his work, and I'm glad for that. Because we so often are trying to find the formula as though it existed within a formula. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't really tell from whence it is coming or where it is going, and so is he that is born of the Spirit. God does not confine himself to our patterns, to our methods, to our ways. In seminary, we had a class in methodology. As always, man is seeking to develop the methods or to learn the methods by which God works. But the interesting thing is that God doesn't work by any particular method. There are diversities of gifts and diversities of operations, yet it's the same Lord. So there are different gifts. But even with the same gift, there are different ways by which that gift operates within the individual. The Holy Spirit dividing to each man severally as he wills, and so he always maintains the control of the method and the work which is to be done. At best, I can only be an instrument through which God does work. So here we find Jesus touching the man, and the interesting question is, if thou wilt, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So often when we pray, we say, now, Lord, if it is your will, and I'm not putting that down. I feel that we should. That whether I say it or not, is an underlying fact in every prayer that I ever offer to God. I don't want my will to be done above God's. Now, God, you set your will aside because this is what I want you to do, you know. The purpose of prayer is never the accomplishing of my will, except as my will has been molded and shaped and conformed to his will. Always the purpose of prayer, the thrust of prayer, is the will of God, the accomplishing of the will of God upon the earth. And we need to remember that. Jesus said, nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. And that was at the end of the prayer, after he'd offered his request, then he made that statement. And that's not a bad statement for us to make. After laying out to God the things that we desire, I think it is always wise to just say, Lord, not what I will, but your will be done. Now, quite often, the Lord is willing to do those things that we desire. When he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing, be thou made clean. And he touched him, and he was cured of his leprosy immediately. Now, in the case of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus, he didn't touch them, and they were healed as they went. In the case of this fellow, he was healed immediately. Again, diversities of operations. He doesn't always work the same way. Now, the problem that would develop if he worked the same way is that if it didn't happen to me the way it happened to you, then I think, oh, God's not doing it for me. So God keeps his ways diverse so that when I relate to you what God has done in my life, you then don't look for my experience that I have with God, but you look for your own personal experience. For God does not pattern himself in his work in our lives. And he may work in you in a totally different way, and your reaction may be completely different than my reaction to the work of God.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Luke 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord enrich you in all good things in Christ Jesus. May he fill you with the knowledge of his love and his grace. And may the Lord continue his work in your life as he draws you unto himself, as he cleanses you through his word, as he fits you and prepares you for that work that he would have you to do in touching the needy world around you. God bless you. And God strengthen you. Keep you ever in his love and in his will. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.